It's Halloween on Woods and Water, South Carolina. I'll tell you what, my man Dave is a magician. Come in and say, can you do this? Oh, yeah. How many of you just had flashbacks to November the 30th, 1982? Can you believe it's been 33 years since Thriller? Still one of the best videos out there. It's actually when MTV was about music videos. And speaking of MTV, started on August the 1st of 81. So there's your rock and roll history for the next year. I thought it'd be cool, but yeah, it's Thriller. Still one of the best. And the whole thing is like 15 minutes? If you sit there and watch it, I think it's on Vevo. I don't think YouTube has it. I think it's on Vevo. But there's some cuts on YouTube too, which is really cool. But anyway, Halloween, I know every kid out there is ready to go get candy. And I tell you what, we're going to do this early just for the kids out there because, you know, if you go to some of these church functions and all, you're probably getting ready to leave. But hey, Chuck Norris went as Chuck Norris on Halloween and got twice as much candy as everybody else. So your Chuck's a little early this week. For those kids out there, look, Halloween is Taylor's holiday. This is our mailbox is spiderwebbed and has skeletons hanging off of it. She has been planning. I think her room's been decorated since the 1st of October. I don't get it, but hey, it's hers, and she does a good job decorating. So if you're out there in Halloween, you know, go have fun with your kids. Be careful. And, lots of candy. I live off that candy for the rest of the year. But anyway, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz. I'll be with you for the next hour. If I had been thinking ahead, I would have recorded today because I have a 148-pound pig on a grill that is just dying to be eaten very quickly as soon as I get out of here today. And that's how we do Halloween, pig picking. But that's beside the point. I'll get to that. But everything in my car is smoky, and it just I love the smell. We have if you want to call in today, you can call in. It's 877-235-9405, and you can also text in now. The station has a text line. It's the same as the telephone number. So if you don't want to talk on the air and you want to text in a question, comment, or whatever, text line is 877-235-9452. So have fun. Shoot me a text. See if it works. You know, my only memory of Halloween, and it, you know, we grew up in the country, and I think we went to two houses, and then we moved to Greenville. And I guess we did some of it. I just don't remember. My vivid Halloween memory is my mom had made a buckskin jacket for Paul, like a Daniel Boone style fringed buck. And I was going to wear it for Halloween because Paul had outgrown it. And I got in the thing, and as I stuck my arm through, you know, getting ready to go get some candy from my two neighbors, I got stung by a yellow jacket. How does that happen? Oh, anyway, so Halloween fun. Calendar. Let's do a few things on the calendar to get you out for the next few weeks. Some big things going on. If you want to go see some of the stuff, you need to make arrangements, or if you want to participate, you need to get in pretty early. Quality Deer Management Association shot me a little thing today. If you join for QDMA, I guess, what's today, the 31st? So by tomorrow, November the 1st, you join and receive a free Sarge hunting knife valued at $30. So you get, it's a useful knife too. I mean, it looks pretty good. But anyway, QDMA, if you're a deer hunter, go online. Coupon code they've got for you there is HAL15. And we're paper today. We're not technologically advanced. We had a few weeks ago, we had Thomas King on the show. He wrote a book called Waterfowls of the Upstate. We're a local man here from Anderson, South Carolina. He's having another presentation. This is the PowerPoint presentation of the book. It's coming up Saturday, November 14th at the Oconee Heritage Center in Walhalla from 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And really nice gentleman. The book, I've started reading a little bit of it. I haven't gotten very far because it's been just really busy. But you could go do this in Walhalla, and then while you're up there, get a twofer here. Music on the Mountain, Table Rock State Park, is November 14th from 2 to 6. So you could go to the PowerPoint. You might could fit in a short waterfall hike in the morning if you wanted to. Do the PowerPoint, then go hear Music on the Mountain. This is up at Table Rock State Park. It's bluegrass music from local musicians. And I've been once. It's pretty cool. From 2 to 6, and you know, make it a twofer. And the leaves should be still pretty good in the next 2 weeks. Although this rain coming through, probably going to knock a lot of them down. I was at a Department of Natural Resources Take One, Make One clinic at the National Wild Turkey Federation headquarters in Edgefield yesterday for the youth deer clinic. They're having a deer hunting for beginners adult hunting clinic in conjunction with Clemson University. It's going to be November the 14th, 9 to 1:30. They're going to have a free venison lunch. And let me tell you what, I had venison about 8 different ways yesterday, and it was all good. In fact, I had a little bit of chili today. And they always have it was good. They smoked 2 whole hindquarters yesterday, and it was so good. The guys that were cooking really knew what to do with it. Remember, these are not for people who have deer hunted before. This is for, you know, maybe your parents didn't deer hunt. You're down here in the South now. You want to get involved. And you're college age, they want you. I think they have 5 slots available. There were 20 total, and they had 5 slots available yesterday. So you can get more at Brett Staton at Clemson University. It's BSTAYTO at Clemson.edu. Or you can contact the Department of Natural Resources, Take One, Make One program. They'll put you in touch too. Ori Georgetown Technical College benefit shoot. Backwoods Quail Club, November the 14th. Sporting Clays Tournament. Registration course opens at 9 a.m. Must be on the course by 12 noon. $75 plus NSCA fees. You got 100 targets. First, second in each NSCA class. First place in each concurrent to Lewis class for hunters. Backwoods Quail Club is 647 Hemingway Lane in Georgetown, South Carolina. You can go to their website, get more information if you're interested. Lunch is included, and they have a practice 5 stand, 25 targets, $10 per round. Let me tell you what, I was down at the NWTF headquarters. They purchased 600 acres adjoining to and adjoining their original, I guess there was 120 or 30 acres that the town of Edgefield gave them when they moved the headquarters there. They have a shooting complex you would not believe. They're doing part of it as an educational center. 300 acres is an educational outdoors learning center. They're going to have dove hunts and deer hunts and turkey hunts. And they have a lake. And they're going to have in a 10-year plan or 2 years into it. They're going to have a lodge, some camping spots. It's going to be really neat. And the other part of it, wow, they've got, I believe they said 3 Sporting Clays courses. They have 5 stand with wobble traps. They have 5 skeet ranges. They have an open air. Gazebo is just not the word for it. It's incredibly beautiful. And a lot of the timber in it, it's open timber frame roof. And it's going to be an educational center. I had a, took a real long tour with PJ Perea yesterday. He's over the museum at NWTF and all the educational programs they've got going on. It's going to be a big thing. They are trying to be a destination for the shooting sports here in South Carolina. And they used a lot of Pittman Robertson tax dollars in conjunction with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources to create the shooting part of it. So it's a public area. You can go down there and shoot. You don't have to be a member. They have trappers and everything you need for a fee. We'll talk a lot about that. PJ is going to be on with me. I'm going to go back down and I'm going to shoot myself. It's been a long time since I've shot clays, but it looked really neat. Rifle and pistol range, it's really neat. So anyway, got a few more things I kind of sidetracked. Stay with me through the break. Back on the other side with a little more of the calendar.
Thank you.
you got to call. What a great movie. Let's see. That one was June 8th, 1984. Oh, you know, sometimes it's fun to be old. Because in our minds, those were the good old days, you know. Except when you have to go out and do manual labor, and then you really hate being old. Ghostbusters, that's a great movie, too. We're having fun today, if you can't tell. I hope you are, too. Some of this just brings back a flood of memories. Back to the calendar quickly. Nature and Wildlife Photography Workshop. This is going to be at Santee State Park, Santee, South Carolina, November the 17th. Through the 19th. Got this one kind of late because I didn't get it in last week. November the 1st is the deadline. So you need to check. This is from the South Carolina Parks, State Parks, SouthCarolinaParks.com. And I meant to get this on a week or so ago and just totally forgot about it, found it during the week. But they're going to have a photography workshop for intermediate and advanced photographers. Perry Baker, staff photographer, will teach participants how to improve their exciting skills and fine-tune their photos. You're going to be shooting waterfowl, raptors, gators, other wildlife at Santee, and it includes two nights accommodations in the lakeside cabins, a boat tour, fish eagle tours, and hands-on indoor and outdoor photography sessions. Call the park for reservations. Come for the photos, leave with the memories. Pretty cool. There's probably, if you go to SouthCarolinaParks.com, the product number you're looking for is 1-000-4119. I need to. I actually took some nighttime photos Thursday night with that full moon down on Lake Murray. Came out pretty good. I was, you know, thanks to my niece's husband who gave me a 45-minute tutorial on ISO, shutter speeds, and f-stops. All of which I should have written down because I've forgotten a lot of it. Sunrise photography session at Caw Caw. This is Friday, November the 20th, ages 12 and up. Awaken your senses to the natural and cultural world while stretching your photographic eye. Bring your camera and let a park naturalist lead you on inspirational locations at the future Caw Caw Interpretive Center Extension site. This is in Charleston County, actually Ravenel, South Carolina. It's November the 20th from 7 to 9 a.m. You can, didn't print. Anyway, you can probably Google it or go to the Caw Caw Extension or Interpretive Center website. It's Parks and Program Services. The contact number, if you want that, 843-795-4386. That's a beautiful time to be out there taking pictures with the leaves turning and the wildlife out. And there's a lot of wildlife out there running around. This one was really cool. This is the... I don't know that we've ever had one up this way, or maybe I just didn't. But I was looking, and we have a three-gun, the Upstate Three-Gun Challenge matches that are coming to the Clinton House. The first one is November the 21st. They're going to have another one December the 19th. And then they're going to have a Three-Gun Nation Regional June 17th, 18th, and 19th of 2016. The really odd thing about this one was when I found it, I was looking, and it was a guy named Buddy Brown and Mike Johnson. And so, of course, what you do when you Facebook stalk somebody is you go look up the name, and Buddy Brown, he was from Chester, South Carolina, lives in Chester, South Carolina. And I started looking at some pictures. When Bermuda High Soaring School had their operation in Chester Airport, Buddy's dad was a tow plane pilot. So I know Buddy. I haven't been 20 years since I've seen him. But anyway, he and Mike Johnson are putting this thing together along with the Clinton House. They're going to be on. One of them is going to be come on the show and tell us what a three-gun challenge is. If you don't know, I'll give you a teaser. It's like an assault rifle, like an AR, shotgun, and pistol. And at the Clinton House, they're actually going to be running this through the woods in natural settings and all. So it ought to be pretty cool. I don't know how much spectator access will be, but it would be cool to be around just to see these guys because they have some equipment, let me tell you what. But anyway, that's coming up. The first one's November 21st. You can contact the Clinton House about it. They also have a Facebook page if you're on. It's Upstate Three Gun at the Clinton House Sports Venue. And it's going to be fun to go watch that one. I'm going to have a good time. You see it on TV, on some of the sporting channels and all. And this one will be up close and personal right down the street here at the Clinton House. So that's the calendar. Just a place for you to start. But some good stuff that in there. And there will be some more good stuff coming up as we get on in the holidays. You know, I actually got to do a little fishing, and so I'm going to give you an update. saltwater and freshwater fishing trip. Thank goodness gas is $1.70 a gallon, because I have burned some gas over the last week or so. First, we're going to go to the coast. I fished with a good friend of mine, Captain John Fuss, Holy City Fishing Charters, a really good fisherman. During the summertime, we really don't cross paths much between June, July, August, on into September, because he is so busy running charters, you know, 2 and 3 a day for 5, 6, you know, months straight, he'll run those doubles. But in the fall and in the spring, and it's funny when you have friends like this, you can go a couple of months and pick up like you saw each other yesterday. It's an amazing thing when you have friends like that. But anyway, we went out, and like John says, October is the month for taking. Trout, flounder, and sheep's head. I am still getting taken to the cleaners by sheep's head. They don't call them convicts for nothing. Just robbing me blind. I mean, I think I'm fishing the same way as everybody else, and John can catch some sheep's head. He knows where to go, and he can catch them. Holy smoke, he can catch them. And I just, you know, it's a swing and a miss. I can feel them and watch the line dance a little bit, and that's all it takes. You're fishing with little fiddler crabs up against pilings and concrete abutments and that sort of thing. But I went over again in like 2 hours of sheep's head fishing. But the trout were still on, and the trout bite's just going to get better as the fall goes on. Caught some keeper-sized flounder. So October, November, yeah, December, that's when your sheep's head bite. And a trout bite is good. If you've never fished them, a few years ago, a gentleman came up with a bait called a trout trick. And it looks like, I'm trying to think in a bass fishing scenario, what it would look like. Almost like a do-nothing. If you ever fish the old 4-inch do-nothings, it's probably 5 inches, and the tail starts to taper down. In other words, it's not like a French fry. It's not the same shape all the way through. And it's meant to fish on a ball jig head. And it's probably some of the easiest artificial you can throw. You throw it out there, you let it sink to the bottom, and you creep it along. He invented them a few years back. He decided he wanted to sell it and get out of the tackle business. And he actually sold. He got in touch with Z-Man Fishing. And I know a lot of you know about Z-Man Fishing. You know, they're based right there in Ladson, South Carolina, near Charleston. And he contacted Z-Man. Z-Man bought Trout Tricks and have brought them in-house now. You know, it used to be a trout trick was just that, I forget what you call it. It's a bluish purple. But now they've got them in all different colors, of course. So you guys that like to have 20 and 30 different colors of whatever plastic you like to fish in your tackle box, you can go get them now. They're made by Z-Man. You can actually still get the original color. And we had when I was down for the Scope Convention, the South Carolina Outdoor Professional Association's convention, right there the same weekend the floods came, we had Daniel Nussbaum from Z-Man came and gave a presentation. And Daniel's going to be on the show here with us in the next week or so, trying to work our schedule with his, to give us the details of how they make those plastic baits. And it's really cool, because what you want is you want that thing to stand up. And the old ones were made by PVC, and talk about an environmental hazard. But they're making them now with what they call their Stretch Z or whatever. And it's really cool, but Daniel's a wealth of information, and is going to be on here to talk about it. But trout tricks, if you want to go this fall, winter bite, salt water, it's not over. You know, you can go chase redfish in 6-8 inches of water on low tides over those mud flats. The mud flats heat that water up as the tide comes back in, and the redfish will get active. You got some bait in there they can get after, and you can go fish those big schools of redfish. But you can go to any shelf, practically any oyster rake, and where you got your trout, and you can fish this slow trout trick bite. It's just fun. It's the sit back. It's not quite the soaking bait that you're used to. You still feel like you're doing something. You really don't have to have a motion down or anything, because just a walk it across the bottom is all you need. The bait does the rest, and the trout just love them. Then I came back up, Mid-State, Lake Murray. a good friend down there, Ellie Jones, is the manager at Drury Island State Park. We got a little thing going on here in a couple weeks down there, so I had to go down and see him. You know, had to go down and see him. And he put me up in one of their island villas. They got five of them down there. And let me tell you what, that's going to be a place that we go get away. It is absolutely gorgeous. You're sitting on part of the lake, and the nearest house is way across the lake. So it's not like you're in a developed cove or anything. It's really neat. But anyway, he is a striper guy. And he doesn't fish them in the summertime. Lake's too crowded. Stripers are deep. He doesn't fool with them. But fall and winter, he's a striper maniac. And we had a ball. Last time we went out in the spring, nighttime striper fishing, I think we came in at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I got in the car. It was right after the FLW Collegiate Championships. That Saturday of the championships, I went out to Drury Island. We fished till 3 o'clock in the morning. I drove home. I got home at like 6 o'clock in the morning. But Ellie's great. He wanted me to come back down and striper fish. So if you like striper fishing, I actually talked to a friend of mine yesterday who has been going to Hartwell and catching, you know, 20, 25, 30 keeper size hybrids. And he said he doesn't even have to crank his big motor up out of the landing. I'm not going to tell you which landing it goes to, but they're all over. But anyway, Ellie and I jumped on the water, ran around from one side of Drury Island to the other side, and ran smack into about 2 or 3 acres of stripers just hammering bait on top. I mean, it looks like I took some pictures. I had to get them up on the Facebook page. But they're just on the top. So we were throwing pencil poppers and Zara spooks and anything chrome, flashy top water. Smaller seemed to be better because the baits were smaller. Really funny thing, Ellie had his fly rod out and just unhooked the fly, had about 7 feet of leader on, and got taken at the boat. I mean, he was still driving the boat and had a striper on. After that, we went down to the Frayed Knot, had some dinner. We got good hamburgers, by the way, if you're ever down that way. And then we went and hit green lights on Lake Murray for nighttime stripers. The first one, he ties a little unweighted underspin fly that's really cool, but you could do it with a Clouser minnow, gray, white, whatever. And it got mobbed, like 5 or 6 stripers. The biggest one took it, broke me off. I mean, it wasn't like fight, 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 you know, leader parted. It was like snap, gone. Tied back on, got one off of that light. It ruined that light. We found a few other lights. We probably caught 20, 25 fish at night on those green lights, all on fly rod. And he said, you know, that bite is just going to get better. The lake is turning over right now. It should be done in the next week or so. And then the stripers are going to move back up those rivers and creeks. So, hey, it doesn't matter. Just go fishing. This weather, you can't get better days to go fishing in the fall. So there's your fishing report. Hope you enjoyed it. Hang with us through the break. We're going to be talking to our friend Geddes Brannon from USC. That's some bass fishing.
Darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand. Creatures crawl in search of blood.
And welcome back to Halloween on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Vincent Price had to have one of the best voices out there for Halloween stuff. It's the best line in the whole book. Anyway, you know, I was talking earlier about friends, that you can pick up a conversation after a couple of months of not having any contact with them at all. And Geddes, you're one of those kind of friends, bud.
I appreciate it.
How are you?
I'm doing good, but I think you caught all the fish out here the other night.
Hey, I was only targeting stripers. If you're bass fishing, I did not interfere with your fishing. You were out there on a tournament today?
Not a tournament, just out here fooling around a little bit. I've been out here a couple times this week, and today's been the toughest day by far.
Sorry.
A lot of cloud cover and water temperatures dropping a little bit, and the front's coming in. But other than that, it's a pretty day out here.
Lake's turned over, or I think the lower part of the lake has turned over. What about mid lake?
The bottom part of the lake, I feel like has middle part of the lake start to baits moving up the river some. So
yeah,
a lot of striper boats out here today.
Oh yeah, yeah. We were that one pot of stripers we got on earlier Friday. You know, there were two boats on it when we first got there, and we left in 5 minutes. There were like eight or nine. You know, it's like a magnet when those things start hitting the top, and everybody, and it really pushes them down.
Oh yeah, it sure does. My partner's actually got one on right now.
Oh, he does.
Cool. Is it a good fish?
Well, look, you know, we haven't talked in a while, at least on the air. I've talked to you just a couple short times on the phone and all. You know, the cup. You know, we sat down there the night of the cup and just had a little. You know, what'd you think? A few months out now, you still learning stuff from the cup, or what are your thoughts
definitely,
there?
Definitely, you know, I definitely have done a lot of thinking since then, and you know, review the fish that I missed, the fish that cost me a little bit of money, and you know, you can always learn from it. But it was definitely a great experience. Nothing like it around. SOW puts on great events.
Yeah. They do.
It's awesome to be able to be in the back of the boat with people like Clark Boyd a lot and Michael Neal and my practice partner Brandon Cobb ended up doing very well.
Oh yeah,
third and yeah. You know, we were all proud of him in South Carolina.
So. Oh yeah, we are. Senior year.
It is senior year. It's hard. Scary.
It is scary. scary from what you're going to unleash on the rest of the people once you get out of there. What senior in fishing? What you got? What y'all got on the fishing plan for this year?
You know, the only schedule that's been released thus far is BSS, the Carhartt College Series. We're going first to Lake Martin,
okay,
and in Alabama, and that'll be I think the first weekend of February. I'm still waiting on the FOW schedule to come out. I'm sure you know we usually hit Florida and
right.
At least one Alabama lake, and
yeah,
you know, hopefully Hartwell Murray again.
Yeah. What's your senior year? Are you going to have a lot of time to fish and practice and all? Are you going to kind of be stretched for time?
I hope so. You know, the BASS used to line it up really well for us and put it at the end of Christmas break for most of the schools. So we would all go down there and have a good old time for the last week of Christmas break. And
yeah.
This time they moved it up a little bit. So might be a little bit more limited on practice. But other than that, we should be able to get out there and have a good time.
Now you're fishing with a new partner this year, right?
No, same guy I fished with last year. Tom and Patrick and I might fish some.
Okay.
I'm not sure yet. We're just like I said, when the schedules finally get together and come out, we'll know a little bit more. But up until then, just spending a lot of time on Lake Murray and
yeah.
This is definitely one of the more challenging lakes around, so if you can figure out stuff out here, you should feel pretty good if you get on another one.
Well, we actually pulled up on the first little, had a seagull hanging over a cove and pulled up, and there's a bunch of bass in there. We threw about three or four times and said, nah, we're gone. So, you know, we did not mess with your bass bite yesterday at all.
I think you sore lipped a couple of them.
No, not me. What's going to happen after this year? Graduate? You know, you said you had enough of school and were going to head out and do something. What do you think? You're actually marketing for Greenfish Tackle, right? Right now?
Yes, sir. I'm doing a little bit of marketing for Greenfish Tackle and doing some advertising work in the outdoor industry for a couple different companies, but mostly all Greenfish and doing their brand management there and probably going to stick with advertising and you know, may try to do a couple different tournament trails next year. I'm not sure yet. It depends on what type of sponsor support I can get. And, you know, we'll go from there. But speaking of Greenfish,
yeah.
We're going to have and this is big for everybody in South Carolina, I know, and all the bass fishermen out there need to pay attention to this one. We're going to have a flood benefit tournament for Columbia on December 12th out of Drew Island State Park. Dynamic Health and Fitness, which is a couple of health and fitness clubs in Columbia is going to be sponsoring, along with Groucho's Deli, and we're still working on a couple other sponsors as well. And we'll have some more details out later this week. But we're going to try to have a decent payout and, you know, raise a good bit of money for the relief.
That's December the 12th?
Yes, sir. December 12th.
Okay. All right. There's like a normal 8-hour tournament? Safe light to three?
Well, yes, sir. It'll be daylight to three, and the bite should be good. You know, the bite here is kind of lagging behind what it has been here in recent years with the warm weather we've had, but, you know, with the water coming up as much as it did a couple weeks ago, it's kind of got these fish in a little bit of a funk. But, you know, by then, hopefully they'll be in a nice wintertime pattern and the big ones will be eating.
Speaking of benefit tournaments, you were telling me you're going to fish, you've got a, with the Carolina Trail, you know, I'm familiar with FLW BASS now. I'm a little bit familiar with the ABA, Ray Scott side. What are some of the local tournament trails around in case somebody wants to just fish,
you know, if somebody's coming to Lake Murray, or Lake Wiley or Lake Norman, any lakes around here now, I know many of the fishermen are familiar with Brett Collins. He puts on some great trails. The Cat Trail, the Carolina Angler Team Trail.
Okay.
They have fall trails on most every lake around, whether that's Watery, Wiley, Norman. And here at Murray, the next one's on November 14th, which is, I guess, in a couple weeks now.
And yeah, 2 weeks.
The championship for that one's November 21st. And then he also runs the CBC, which will be starting back up in February, I believe.
Gonna fish. You're fishing the Cat tournament, aren't you? That trail.
Yes, sir. I will be there.
Okay.
I will be there. Hopefully they'll cooperate for us and maybe get some good food later that afternoon.
You think?
I hope so. How did the first one turn out?
Well, the pig is on the grill right now, and the results will be, you know, the weigh in, if you say, is gonna be about 4:35, so we'll let you know. Test run. I'm test running with everybody else before I get to y'all.
That'll be good then.
All right, bud. Well, keep in touch with me.
I appreciate it, Roger, as always. And
yeah, let me know.
Everybody have a good Halloween and be safe. And there again, everybody remember December 12th. And if any businesses, by the way, are interested in sponsoring the fundraising tournament.
Okay.
They can email me at gettys@greenfishtackle.com. That's GETTYS at greenfishtackle.com. So I appreciate the support, and we'll get back to you.
You know, that's a tough month for me to do anything. I wish I could come fish it for you.
I'm telling you, well, you know, last time we fished tournament out here, we didn't do too good, did we?
You didn't let me pick up a rod. I got,
well, then we'd have had three people in the boat.
I think I have been invited to the only fishing tournament that I was not allowed to fish.
Hey, they got rules. I try to follow.
I got to the ramp. You might want to leave your rods in the thing. I think this is just a two-man tournament. They might get mad if we had three in the boat.
Hey, it wouldn't have mattered that day.
That's true. It was a rough day. All right, bud, you keep in touch. Let me know when the FLW College Series comes out, and figure out when we're going to get
to
see you guys.
Yes, sir, we will. And we'll keep you updated.
Okay, appreciate it, Gettys.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye. Yeah, I got to enjoy Gettys. They got a bunch of kids in that South Carolina program this year. And, you got Gettys and Patrick, who obviously won the FLW Championship last year. They had some other teams competing. I mean, we're high up. But you talk to like Andy Wicker, who we talked to a couple weeks ago, who won the ABA. And he was in the Clemson bass fishing team, along with Brandon Cobb. So these college fishing teams, you know, starting in high school now, and they're getting, I guess, on the only thing I can think of is of course, you get better with practice. But they get them used to the sponsor, the stage, and that sort of thing with the high schools. And you get them in the college, and these colleges travel all over. And, of course, they're not affiliated. We wonder, Gettys and I have talked often about when colleges are going to start offering fishing scholarships, supporting these teams a little bit, because these teams raise their own support. They don't get money from the schools to go fishing, so... Keep up with the young man. He's always fun to talk with, and one of these days he's going to let me fish with him. I guess I'm going to have to pay him Actually, I did pay them. I sponsored that boat that day, and then you get to fish it. Anyway, hang on through the break. We'll be back with a few more stories. He's good, folks. The Monster Mash. Couldn't tell you. Let's see if I can find out when that came out. Don't ever say you didn't learn anything on this show. Even if it wasn't about the outdoors. Good gracious. 1962. 5 years before I was born. October the 31st. What's that, 53 years ago today? You're the man. Just the man. Thanks, Dave. He's got his phone pulled up. He's more prepared than I am. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's Halloween. Getting ready to go out there, you know, enjoy it. Even if it's a pain, like I say it is every year. Actually, this year I won't be doing much because I have the pig, but my wife will be taking Taylor around, so I'm going to miss a little bit of this year. Kind of, you know, the last one that's going to be interested in it. Of course, you may be 30 and still interested in Halloween. You know, when you have guests on, I love having my guests on, and they're good, but you run through so much, you run past so many stories that you like to talk about or just keep you updated on. And we're fixing to get back into a segment where we're going to have guests a lot and some really good guests the rest of this year. But I don't understand this. You know, we're a month or 2 weeks into rifle season, deer hunting in South Carolina, and we've already had two deaths here in the upstate. You know, accidents can happen, but these are preventable. I know people get excited deer hunting. Buck fever takes over. I still get it. Look, I understand. But yesterday at that clinic, there was something that was said that was very, very good. And I've talked about it on the show before. Do not use that rifle to identify a target. Do not look through that scope to figure out if what's moving is a deer. Buy yourself a pair of binoculars. Identify your target before you point the gun at it, and these things don't happen. We've had two. October 15th, 17-year-old Amanda Foster, a student at Pendleton High School, died after being accidentally shot while hunting with her foster father in Anson County. 4 days later, in Newberry County, Kendall Williams, 18, died after accidentally being shot while hunting near Highway 391 Prosperity. Lieutenant Lance Corporal Henry Barnett said each one to us is preventable. You know, and he's right. Firearms accidents like this should not happen, especially during hunting season. You know, first of all, and I guess I'm not even going to say that, you need to be on WMA, you have to wear orange. And I don't when I'm on private land. I don't know, probably should. But, you know, don't use that gun and scope to identify a target. Use your binoculars to identify the target before you ever point the gun at it. And this stuff would not happen. Be careful. Always be careful where the gun's pointed. That's, you know, that's rule number one in firearm safety. Knowing whether it's loaded or not, and then keep it pointed in a safe direction. So this sort of stuff shouldn't be happening. It should not happen. No matter how excited you get, you got to identify your target before you pull the trigger. So just slow down, you know, just slow down. 10, 15 seconds to make the difference in the rest of your life and the life of somebody else. And I hate to, you know, have to read a story like that, but it's true. Two dead already in the upstate. Sad. So just while you're out there and talk to your buddies about it, you know, remind each other. We need to police ourselves. Be the first one to say, hey, look, you know, be careful. Be careful what you're shooting at. Be careful what you're pointing the gun at. Okay. enough on that one. Let's move on to something. Do you remember Cecil the Lion? The huge uproar, Cecil the Lion. Have you heard of Cecil the Lion in the past 2 months? No. It's one of those in a feel-good, emotional stories. Well, hey, Johannesburg, Dateline, the Minnesota dentist who killed Cecil the Lion, who, by the way, has gone back to work now. His practice is back open. And, of course, it has to say, with a bow and arrow while hunting near an animal preserve, get this, broke no laws and will not face any charges in Zimbabwe, an official from the Robert Mugabe administration said Monday. Walter Palmer drew international condemnation after shooting the beloved lion near Hwange National Park in western Zimbabwe. Environment Minister Opa, going to skip that one, said in July that Zimbabwean police and prosecutors plan to charge Palmer with poaching. But on Monday, she told reporters in Harare that Palmer had not broken the southern African country's hunting laws and that police and the National Prosecuting Authority had cleared Palmer of wrongdoing. It's one of those things, you need all the facts. You know, we're so quick to rush to judgment and pile on that sometimes it's you don't have the facts. You don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, we talked about how much hunting brings into these countries and how they're, you know, help the local villagers and all that. So, anyway, Palmer, who for weeks was in hiding with death threats and all that, was abiding by the law. So, thought you needed to know that. Right here in Greenville, South Carolina, many of you know Joe Hamilton. Back in 1988, he was, you know, the founder of Quality Deer Management Association. He was awarded a Distinguished Alumnus Award from the University of Georgia. Congratulations to Joe. Really nice guy. Like I said, I remember, you know, those early days meeting at the, I think it was the Western Sizzling right here on Wade Hampton. But the award is from the University of Georgia's Warnell School of Forestry and Natural Resources, given annually to alumni who have made outstanding contributions to the natural resources field. They're nominated by colleagues and other alumni. And Joe says, my academic training at Warnell provided an awareness, understanding, and appreciation of our natural resources. As a result, I'm a devout steward of the proper protection and management of those treasures from the wild. You know, founder of QDMA, served as director of education outreach for QDMA's Southern Region Director of Development, now serves as QDMA's senior advisor. He stayed involved in Warnell since graduating. He says his passion to support his alma mater because my personal and professional identities are directly linked to the quality of courses, professors, and classmates I encountered while attending the school. QDMA was founded in 88 in an effort to guide hunters toward better hunting through sound deer management. And it quickly became a national nonprofit organization to lay a leader in whitetail conservation and hunter education. So congratulations, Joe Hamilton, a true icon in the whitetail world. And, you know, we're going through this process of updating our deer management. And we're gonna have a whole program devoted to that legislation with Charles Ruth. Working out the details on that too. And I'm sorry, the more I read comments on this upcoming legislation and all, it's not about $15 for permits. It's not about limiting. We don't impose government regulations on how many deer you can shoot. It's a numbers game. It's about a population, the state population, not in your 50 acres or 500 acres in whatever corner of the state you're deer hunting. It's about the overall population of the whitetails. So keep that in mind. It's not about you. It's about the whitetails. And that's what we as conservationists should be first and foremost. It's concerned about the natural resources and not about how many we want to shoot or how many families we feed. Look, if you have the ability to shoot deer to feed 4, 5, 6 families, you have the ability to teach those families how to hunt for themselves. So anyway, quick story here from Department of Natural Resources. Wild turkey harvest in South Carolina decreases this spring. 45,000 turkey hunters took to the woods harvested about 15,000 birds, down 6% from 2014 and down 40% from the record harvest established in 2002. And that was mirrored in my conversation with PJ Perea yesterday at the NWTF. They, of course, are the research and scientific, like Ducks Unlimited is to ducks, they are to turkeys. And he said they've seen the same things. Not only hunter numbers decreasing, but turkey population is down too. Early summer during July and August, DNR did their annual turkey survey. I got one. Reproduction wild turkeys has generally been poor much of the last decade, and the spring harvest following each year of low recruitment has been down. The overall effect has been a significant decline in turkey harvest in recent years. Reproduction during the summer of 2013 was the lowest since the summer reproductive survey beginning 1982. Now, you can say coyotes. You can say pine trees. Neither one of those things are good for turkeys, and neither one of those things are really good for whitetails. Plus, loss of habitat, which is something not a lot of us like to bring up because we like to build new subdivisions and all. So, anyway, since hunters most frequently have success calling and harvesting two-year-old gobblers, it was a given that harvest figures would be down in 2015. So, you can go on the DNR's website and get some information on the Summer Turkey Reproductive Survey. Top counties, Williamsburg, Berkeley, Fairfield, Colleton, and Newberry. However, because counties vary in size, a better method of comparing harvests between counties is harvest per unit area per square mile. So using this, Cherokee, Spartanburg, Pickens, Anderson, Newberry. And, that's another one. We're going to have to look at, of course, this year we have the new turkey regulations come in. You know, it's three birds and then a statewide season this coming spring. So, yeah, the news is not good. And when talking to PJ, we were talking about decline in hunter numbers too, and that's something they're trying to remedy also. Got the 2016 invitation to the Bassmaster Classic, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Grand Lake of the Cherokees, March, which probably is not going to be much better than February in Lake Hartwell. I don't know that I'm going. Of course, Casey's defending championship. Anyway, had a good day today. Hope you did too. I'm off to eat some pig. Wish you could all come with me. Hey, I'll give you the address. No, my brother would kill me. Anyway, have a good weekend. I'll see you next Saturday. We're going to end up with Vincent Price.